KALW.
I just knew this was possible, but to be here in real time, I don't want to leave. I just want to enjoy every second of this. I know how fleeting it can be.
The Warriors just won their fourth NBA title in 8 years. We hear from the man who coached them to their first title here back in 1975.
They all looked at each other like, you know, number one guy and number 12 guy. If they get a chance to play, can do everything to help us win games. And that's what we all, you know, believe in.
Former Warriors head coach Al Attles. And Bay Area authors Evelyn LaTorre, Masha Rumer, and Lauren Rhodes read from their memoirs.
Living with a man from the Peruvian Andes,
people always ask, aren't you afraid of earthquakes?
It's about my experiences as an immigrant from Russia.
A literary collection from our podcast, New Arrivals. That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. The Warriors just won their fourth NBA title in 8 years. And throughout the NBA playoffs, we've been revisiting KALW's award-winning podcast, Bounce. It tells the story of the Warriors franchise and the many people whose lives are entwined with the team and its fate. To recap the team's incredible run, here's the host of Bounce, Ben Trefney.
The Golden State Warriors were older and smaller than their finals opponents. They lost Game 1 at home to the Boston Celtics, had to win Game 4 on the road to avoid a nearly insurmountable hole. And then, the Dubs proved why they're one of the greatest teams in NBA history, and their strength in numbers motto showed through.
Warriors' defense has become very good since that early timeout.
Curry kicks it out, Green, wide open, and finally gets it to go. Three-pointer, right side is good. Curry pushed the pace.
How tough a shot that was.
What a block from Andrew Wiggins. Poole steps back, banks it in. Poole nails it, that's 11 straight points. What a turnaround here in the first quarter.
Raymond Green tips it out to Poole, and Poole nails the three.
Boy, he barely had it in his hand.
Again, Golden State looking to push at every opportunity. Thread the needle, and Wiggins banks it in. Gorgeous feed from Thompson.
Draymond Green, another rebound. Kicks it back out. Poole's going to try again. And nails another.
Another turnover.
Poole pushes, finds Wiggins. Wiggins throws it down. And the Celtics need another timeout. Golden State scored 21 in a row.
How you feel? How you feel? How you feel? 25 sitting on 25 mil, I'm in the building and I'm feeling myself. Rest in peace, Mac Dre. I'ma do it for the Bay, okay? Getting paid, we'll holler whenever that stop. My team good, we don't really need a mascot. Tell Tune Light One, pass it like a relay. YMCMB, you need to get more YMCA.
Maybe the most memorable image from these playoffs was the sight of Stephen Curry's uncontrolled emotions at the end of Game 6.
Poor Steph Curry with his dad, the emotions just pouring out. It might be his fourth, but it means so much. All the sacrifice, all the work.
As the clock ticked down to the Dubs' victory, he laughed, cried. Face just fell apart. He even sat down on the court before the final buzzer, just visibly shook. A complete catharsis.
I mean, these last 2 months of the playoffs, these last 3 years, these last 48 hours, every bit of it, it's been an emotional roller coaster on and off the floor, and you're carrying all of that on a daily basis to try to realize a dream and a goal like we did tonight. And you get goosebumps just thinking about, you know, all those snapshots and episodes that we went through to get back here individually, collectively. And that's why I said I think this championship hits different. That's why I had so many emotions and still will, just because of what it took to get back here.
For one thing, it took getting his splash brother Klay Thompson back. The comeback player of the year for the Warriors, if not the world, returned in January from two catastrophic leg injuries. He showed flashes of brilliance, if not consistency, but his heart was on his sleeve all the way through.
I'm just at a loss for words at times because I just knew this was possible, but to be here in real time, man, I don't want to leave. I just want to enjoy every second of this. I know how fleeting it can be.
And another man making the most of the moment was Draymond Green. Now that he's got four championships and an unfiltered podcast, just how many does he think he can win?
I'm not sure. You know, I don't like to put a number on things.
and say, oh man, we can get five or we can get six, or no, we're gonna get them until the wheels fall off.
This is Bounce, a show about the Golden State Warriors and their place in the Bay Area. I'm Ben Trefney. About a half century before this generation's stars came to play in the Bay, before Rick Barry led Golden State to its first championship, even before the great Wilt Chamberlain came to San Francisco in 1962, there was Al Attles. He's one of the last remaining links to the Warriors' days in Philadelphia, and now he's an ambassador for Golden State. KALW's Suni Khalid recently sat down with Al Attles to look back on his long history with the team and to reflect on the success of the franchise that he played such an integral part in building.
Al Attles reclines in a wooden chair in a back dining room of Krogan's. It's one of his favorite restaurants in Oakland's Montclair neighborhood, where he's made his home for a half century. Dressed all in black, Attles' trademark thick mustache and goatee have thinned considerably from the days when he first prowled the sidelines a half century ago as the Warriors' head coach. He was one of the first African Americans to do so in the NBA. What you notice are his large brown eyes. They still burn like coals. As a player, he was known as the Destroyer for his fiery intensity. Of course, as our conversation begins, I address him as Mr. Attles, but the former coach put me at ease.
We start with the Mr. Just call me Al. You're dating me with Mr.
Al remains a presence with the Warriors. He attends every home game at the Chase Center with his wife, Wilhelmina. He said it's been a long journey since he was drafted by the Philadelphia Warriors in the fifth round of the 1960 NBA draft as a guard out of North Carolina A&T State. The rookie joined a team led by legendary big man Wilt Chamberlain. In his second season, Al became part of NBA history. At a game played on March 2, 1962 in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the Big Dipper became the only person in league history to score 100 points in a game. I ask Al what he remembers most about that game.
Before the game started, we would say things to him like, Wilt, we're going to give you the ball and let you score. The more you score, the more we will win. And he used to joke about it. He'd always say, well, I'm going to pass the ball to you. I said, no, don't pass the ball to me. Shoot the ball. Then I got a chance to play.
Al Attles played only two seasons in Philly before the Warriors moved to San Francisco. The team split its home games between the Cow Palace, the Civic Auditorium, and occasionally USF's War Memorial Gym, usually before small crowds for small paychecks. But Al says the focus remained on the game.
We never talked about the gym that we're playing in. We always felt that any place that we play, we'll either win or we'll lose. And more often than not, we won.
In 1964, Chamberlain led the San Francisco Warriors to their first championship final against the Boston Celtics, where they lost in five games. Six seasons later, after playing a decade in the league, the Warriors asked Al to be the team's head coach. He'd be one of the first black men in the NBA given the title. At first, Al said he wasn't sure he wanted the job.
I had a difficult time taking it on because when the people would talk to me about coaching, I would say, well, you know, I really enjoy playing. I don't want to coach. And they made me think that maybe I'm a little bit better than I think I am as far as a coach.
Al cut quite the dashing figure on the sidelines, wearing the flashy suits of the 70s with wide lapels and bell-bottom pants. Four seasons later, he took the now Golden State Warriors to their first NBA championship. Led by Hall of Famer Rick Barry, they swept the heavily favored Washington Bullets in four games. Al says whatever the squad lacked in talent, they more than made up for in chemistry.
Well, I think that they all believed in each other as teammates. You know, the number one guy never thought about the number 12 guy just being a guy just there. They all looked at each other like, you know, number one guy and number 12 guy, if they get a chance to play, can do everything to help us win games. And that's what we all, you know, believed in. Unfortunately, it all worked out.
Al Attles coached the Warriors for 14 seasons, winning more than 500 games before stepping down in 1983. He's remained with the team, first serving as general manager and the last few decades as an ambassador. He's still on the team's payroll after 62 years. Those 7 decades in the NBA have given Al a rare opportunity to look back at the enormous changes that have occurred within the league and the game. But don't try to draw him into a discussion about which era's teams or players were better. As far as Al's concerned, there's no debate.
I think you have to be very careful. As good as you thought we were, or we thought we were, to be honest, the guys are better today than they were when we came along. No, a lot of guys would probably want to fight me, and I don't like to fight, but if I say the guys today are better than the guys that played with us, they would say, well, you come outside, we'll work this out. I said, no. You know, I don't want to deal with a guy 7 foot talking about it. Yeah, you know, what did you say about us? I didn't say anything wrong about you. But, you know, you have to think in terms of what we dealt with back then had nothing to do with what we're doing now. They're so much far ahead of us now than we were when we played, but we were just happy to be there. And I never looked at, you know, guys, they'd say, well, you know, you guys say we were better than when you played back then. No, I never said that. We were just very fortunate to be there.
The Warriors retired Al's number 16, and he was elected as a member of the James Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in 2019. No matter how many more NBA championships the Warriors win in the Bay Area, Al Edels led them to their first. And you don't have to tell him how fortunate he is, or how fortunate it has been for the Dubs to have him as a living part of their history. In Oakland, I'm Suni Khalid for Cross Currents.
That was KELW's news editor Suni Khalid speaking with former Warriors head coach Al Edels. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Next, we're bringing you 3 readings from Bay Area women. It's a collection of episodes from KALW's literary podcast, New Arrivals.
This is New Arrivals, a pocket-sized book tour with Bay Area authors. I'm Lisa Morehouse. Today, we'll hear 3 local authors read from their memoirs. The first is Evelyn LaTorre, who lives in Fremont. Her book, Love in Any Language, came out in September of 2021.
It's about the joys and challenges of loving and parenting and living with a man from the Peruvian Andes who I met when I was in the Peace Corps. Here's one of my favorite parts. It's from the beginning of the book, and the chapter is called Home Again. On the afternoon of July 7, 1966, my family, my mother, father, 3 sisters, and 2 brothers, showered me with hugs at the San Francisco airport. For nearly 2 years, they'd known about my life in a distant third world country, only through my letters. I hadn't been physically present to reassure them, answer their questions, or share my experiences. Now they expressed relief that I seemed healthy. Mom could stop worrying about my safety. My arrival confirmed that their prodigal daughter had returned intact.
That was Evelyn LaTorre reading from Love in Any Language. Safety. It's a great thing to have, but it's not always possible. Our next memoir demonstrates that fact in vivid detail. This Morbid Life by San Francisco author Lauren Rhodes came out in August of 2021.
It's a memoir about living in San Francisco. Here's one of my favorite parts. One thing people always ask when they find out I live in San Francisco is, aren't you afraid of earthquakes? Yeah, but I was here in October 89. Everything dropped suddenly, a couple of inches straight down. I wondered if a big truck had hit the grocery store. The power went off, then things began to bounce. "It's an earthquake," Mason explained. The floor jumped like a funhouse. I looked for something, anything, to get under. Of course, there was nothing. It was a grocery store. All I could think was, "Get out, get out." Mason hugged me hard, and we staggered around together, barely able to keep our feet. We watched the wine bottles slap together and explode, firing wine and glass into the aisle. When the shaking finally stopped, we abandoned our shopping cart full of food and crunched through the spilled wine and broken glass to the exit.
That was Lauren Rhodes reading from This Morbid Life. And now, with our third and final memoir today, we move from San Francisco to San Jose, and from a story of the Earth moving to a story of moving around the Earth. Here's Masha Rumer, whose book, Parenting with an Accent, came out in November of 2021.
It's about my experiences as an immigrant from Russia and a multicultural parent. It also includes research and interviews that I conducted with dozens of other immigrants across America. I also spoke with experts in bilingualism, psychology, and more. And here is a part from an earlier chapter about language traditions and bilingualism. From the moment Leigh is born, I sing, speak, and read to her exclusively in my language. It's not a conscious decision. It just happens. The language becomes a portal into a different universe, authentic and safe, stashed in an old suitcase from years ago. We attend sing-alongs at the neighborhood library and socialize with American friends, but it's Russian the rest of the time. It feels alienating. It's busy work, but I don't budge. Once my daughter is exposed to a language, I assume, it will just stay with her forever, sort of like acquiring a taste for blue cheese or learning to ride a bicycle. As I soon learn, we're in for a wild ride.
That was Masha Rumer reading from Parenting with an Accent.
New Arrivals is produced by Lisa Morehouse. You can hear more authors reading from their books at kelw.org/newarrivals. Tune in Monday at 5. Pride March is one of the biggest events in San Francisco. But after all is said and done, who cleans everything up?
We start cleaning right following the last float. And then it's our own little parade of cleanup.
The delicate balancing act of cleaning confetti and glitter. Monday at 5. And before we go, here's some new music from a Bay Area band.
Much true. I'm to your
This is Oakland's Banzai Cliff. They'll be playing in San Francisco's Bottom of the Hill this Saturday. Today's Cross Currents team includes Hanisha Harjani, Sebastian Mignot-Buscelli, Sunday Holland, Gabe Graben, James Rowlands, Victor Tense, Shirin Adel, Shia Levitt, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Dawood Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.